by setting up a system where you have to take his mark in order to buy, sell, or trade. And if you don't, you don't go to work, you don't go to school, you can't shop at the grocery store, you can't get your mail, and on it goes. Going to lock it down. God sees all this. He's not surprised by it. And he's getting fed up.
Amen.
But the icing on the cake is Israel. That's the icing. So verse 3 then says, in describing what they've done for 2,000 years, and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. This speaks directly to one of a number of things, but it includes the minor sex slave trade. Taking young men and women. Throughout history, Jewish traders have enabled their Gentile abusers. We start with Judas Iscariot. Well, when you see this thing about Jewish children, you'll find it's Jews who are behind a lot of it. Judas Iscariot's among the Jews. During World War II, there were those referred to as what we call Judenrats, or Judenrats, if you want to get the German pronunciation. What were they? Guys like that helped Hitler kill Jews. Helped them round them up. Helped them take all their belongings. Help them destroy their own people. That guy probably a blood relative of Judas Iscariot. The most recent scandal demonstrating this reality would be this Jew, Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was an equal opportunity abuser, but he took Gentile and Jewish young women and suckered them into sex slavery. That, by the way, is Wexner sitting next to him, his buddy.
The, like, Ohio person?
Yeah.
And they have a building named after?
They had a close association. And this is a Jewish publication in Boston. Sex trafficking is a Jewish issue. Now, it's not saying it's just a Jewish issue. But nonetheless, it is a Jewish issue. And sexual misconduct does not become excusable because the perpetrator is a mensch or a hero, is the subtitle. And it's nothing new. This is a group that was called the Zvi Magdal. And these were Jews who would tell young Jewish women that they could go to Argentina and have a new life. Some were told they were going to be married. And the young man would propose and say that they were engaged, but they had to go to Argentina. And then he would take her to the boat, and he'd say, someone would come up and whisper in his ear, and he'd say, something's come up, I'll meet you there in 3 weeks, but you have to get on the boat, and I'll meet you there. And these girls would go on the boat. And as soon as that boat left the shore, they were then taken, tied up, and the rest of their lives was destroyed. Jews doing that to their own Jewish women. Zvi is Migdal, and kind of considered an organized crime mob, and it was originated with Polish Jews, founded in Poland and based mainly in Argentina. And they trafficked in Jewish women from Central Europe for sexual slavery and forced prostitution. Now, they sold and bartered women like property, and they did that with the Gentile nations. What's it say?
They sold.
They have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for a harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. This is the Jewish response to modern-day slavery in another Jewish publication. Sandra, they didn't use her real name, describes being molested at age 6 by 3 close relatives, one of whom forced her to have sex with his friends for money. And this, of course, includes young men and boys. This is another publication, Males, the Silent Victims of Human Trafficking. It's going on male and female. And it wasn't always for sex or slavery, by the way. I don't know how many of you heard about the Yemenite baby scandal in the 1950s in Israel. But there were a huge number of Jews in Yemen. And when they would come over from Yemen to Israel, they would be told that they had to let the nurses take their babies back to the hospital wing in the boat, and then the babies would disappear. 100-some thousand babies disappear. And many of them, they don't know how many of them, but many of them were sold to U.S. Jews here, in according to this new film, but they were also sold to Gentiles. And some of them probably ended up in very bad places. And this is one of them who survived and grew up. And Israel's Yemenite Children Affair, that's a BBC report. And if you spend much time at all researching this, again, we can't go on and on. We can only scratch the surface of the fulfillment of this verse. But on and on and on, the Roman Catholic Church would go in and take all the children and kill or banish the men and the women Jews. And they take their children and then sprinkle them as babies and raise them as Roman Catholics. And then they would have them in orphanages and they would sell them. And it went on for centuries. So verse 4 and 5, he then says, "Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coasts of Palestine?" It's interesting that those areas now are very Sodomite, very overtaken with Sodom. "Will you render me a recompense?" He said, "You think you're going to get back at me through your the way you're treating these children? "And if you recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head." I'm telling you what, I hope John Wayne's in heaven. Because I think, when I think of any man who kind of represents the God that I read about in the Bible, he's less of a the Sissified Jesus, as you see, you know, on TV and everything. And these last couple of miniseries, they have these guys look like Brad Pitt with long hair, you know. Just Jesus was a rough guy. Jesus was outdoors. He was sun tanned, but to the point, I guarantee you, you see Jesus in the way he existed, he would have been a rough. He would have had calluses. I mean, my hands are like baby soft compared to what the hands of Jesus would have been like. I expect he'd give a grip. And I'm not saying he would say, "Verily, verily, duh, I say unto you." You know, not that he talked like John Wayne. But look what he says, "You think you're going to render me a recompense, and you recompense me swiftly and speedily? Will I return your recompense on your own head?" You see what I'm saying? That works better. In verse 5, "Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly, pleasant things." You know, up until 1948, everything in Israel was plundered. If there was anything there worth anything, it was gone. And have carried into your temples, and in most places it went like in Islam, it's the religion that runs everything and owns everything. It would have gone into the mosques and other pagan nations. It would have gone into their temples. And God is not interested in reparations. I love it. You know, even God even says in the Psalms, you know, "If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you."
Yeah.
I like that. Again, doesn't that sound like something John Wayne would say?
Yeah.
"If I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you." Duh. Pilgrim.
I would not tell them I was hungry.
Because why would he waste his time telling them that he's hungry?
That need us. We need him.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because God, you know, he doesn't need us.
Yeah.
He has everything he needs. He's self-sufficient.
If I were thirsty, I wouldn't tell you. I'd go... See? That's God. I'm not saying I would say that. I'm saying that's what God would say. So speaking of Palestine, just by the way, Biden has renewed foreign aid to the Palestinian Authority so that they can pay the Palestinians who kill Jews.
Yep, that's right. What?
He has renewed foreign aid to Palestine, the Palestinian Authority, so that when a Palestinian kills Jews, when they blow themselves up and kill the Jews, the Palestinian Authority pays their families. They reward their families for doing that. Beijing Biden. So let's close here in verse 6. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto Grecian, unto the Grecians. Now, Ashley, wasn't there a Grecian hair formula?
Yeah.
Yes, there is.
I just always, every time I hear that word, I was like, what is it? And I just was thinking, it was the hair thing.
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
Grecian. I wonder what the connection is there.
The store's color.
Well, this is talking about the Greeks. But they did literally sell Jews to the Greeks, not only in B.C. They've been doing it for 2,000 years. There's stories, if you read about the, you know, most of the people glorified as philosophers like Plato, Socrates, you know, they're pedophiles. They call them pederasts, which means they have young boys as their little sex toys, for lack of a better term. And sometimes it would be, they'd go and they'd defeat the Jews and they would take their Jewish boys and their Jewish boys would... You know, I mean, and our schools make heroes out of those guys. There are going to be a lot of people go to hell because they've read those sodomites and bought their philosophy after the Bible says, beware lest anyone deceive you through philosophy and vain deceit. What is philosophy and vain deceit? Most of our education system.
Mm-hmm.
Filling kids with rot in their brains. So the motive behind all efforts to remove Jews from the promised land is satanic. Satan knows that God has a plan for the Jews in that land, and so if he can keep them out of that land, he thinks he's going to destroy them during the tribulation to come, and we know what's going to happen according to Revelation 12. Somebody asked me one day and said, they're saying, you know, only dispensationalists believe that what you believe in Revelation 12. And I said, yeah, because they turned the woman there in Revelation 12 into Mary or the church. And we believe the woman is Israel, so that's why we were right and they're wrong.
That's right.
And he says, well, you know, they think that that's not going to happen. And then, so we kept talking. And then, same person says, well, you and all these dispensationalists are all preaching and saying it's going to happen, so Satan's going to know it happens. And I said, no, because Satan doesn't attend our church. He attends their church. He's listening to the bad theology. And that's my explanation, because he doesn't know when it's happening. In Revelation 12, God says Satan's clueless about the whole thing. Why? He must be attending the Episcopalian church and not one of our dispensational churches, or a Presbyterian or Catholic or any non-dispensational. Maybe he's a Jehovah's Witness. I don't know.
Maybe he's a fortune.
Yeah. The most obvious thing to be about Satan is that we know he was a covering cherub. So he's right there. Probably has known God, you know, better than any of us have yet, at least face to face, and yet you still did that.
Yeah.
So that gives you an idea.
Pride, that's where it takes you. And that's why all this pride, the Kroger thing with pride and all the pride parades and everything. Everybody's proud.
Yeah.
NBC's proud as a peacock. Everybody's proud. That's why, you know, when I talk about my children and when I am proud of them, as the world would say, I don't say it. I tell people, you know, I love my children and I'm not a bit ashamed of them. I'm thankful for them. But I just don't talk about being proud of my children because, you know, it's not, I can't claim anything about that. I tried to help them and all that, but it's between them and God. If they're doing what's right,
give God the glory.
The Bible says He always give God the glory. So, you know, when people say, I'm proud, usually it's because I'm such a wonderful parent. You know, I just turn out children like you wouldn't believe. You know, that's kind of the, you know, my children, if they, that, you know, it works the other way. I got, you know, I got a couple that I'm not proud of at all, if you want to use the word, you know, why. You know, I'm not going to claim success or the failures. It's their choice. They serve, either serve the Lord or reject the Lord, and that tells you whether or not, you know, they're worth, you know, being thankful for and what?
Being worth talking about.
Yeah, be worth talking about. So, anyway, the motive behind the efforts to get the Jews out of their land is satanic. He doesn't know Revelation 12 because he doesn't attend our church. And he is going to try until the second coming. So we can just get used to this. It's permanent. And you always hear people say, well, why can't they just this and just that? Why can't we this and that? Because Satan's still going to, no matter what they come up with as far as peace processes or anything, Satan's going to do what he can to bring it down. So we end with this dispensational truth. This will not end until the second coming of Jesus Christ, as I just said. Mm-hmm. And that kind of sounds like a downer, right? So let's read it differently. Let's be positive. Come on, folks. You're too negative. Why don't you all be a little more positive? Let's read it this way. This will all end at the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Yay! Finally.
See, isn't that better? All right. Get your praise book out. And turn to page 71. We'll close with a little... How many of you... This is, might be a little different version than you're used to. Good stand.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, shine.